Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America, everyone. Frank Bassett joining you today. Tim Matthews has had some family issues. His mother-in-law passed away, so he will not be with us. Our best wishes to Tim Matthews and his entire family in this great loss. It's tough when you lose anyone, and we all know that. And my heart and prayers go out to Tim and his family. But what we wanted to do, because this is the RSM Classic this week, is get some of the interviews that we usually do on PGA Tour Countdown. We wanted to pull some of those interviews live from the media center because Davis Love III and Zach Johnson both had a lot to say, as well as Camille Viegas. So what I want to do is let you hear those interviews, and then I'll wrap it up and we'll shut her down and live to play another day. We'll be back with you next week for a full version of Golf Talk America Live with Tim back in the saddle with me. And again, our best wishes to Tim Matthews and his family. But with that being said, let's get on to the interviews.
Okay, we'd like to welcome Davis Love III into the interview room, our tournament host at the RSM Classic. Davis, if we can get some comments on this tournament that is near and dear to your heart, and especially this year, more riding on this tournament than ever with the top 125 in the FedEx Cup being finalized.
Yeah, I'm just excited to get it kicked off. You know, I always look forward to Wednesday night. Big pro-am draw party tonight. Obviously, a lot going on. We actually started earlier this year, Friday last week, with festivities. So I got my golf shoes on. I'm excited to start playing golf on Thursday morning, and get past the Wednesday part of it. I remember before I was a tournament host, we had a tournament. The tournament director's always saying, as soon as I can get to Wednesday night and hand it to the PGA Tour, I'm happy. So I'm in that boat now. I'm ready for the PGA Tour to start playing golf, and I can get in that mode. But, yeah, the buzz now is kind of coming around that, hey, guys are playing for their card. I'm just on the range with Justin Parsons, and, you know, he's going to help some of his guys, you know, get to certain levels, whatever that is, and playing for the next 10, playing to keep your job. It's an exciting week. So great storylines, and I'm excited to get out there and mix it up with them. Last year, unfortunately, I missed. Last minute, I pulled out with a wrist injury. So I'm excited to actually get to play this year.
So speaking of that, what's the state of your game?
My body feels really good. I don't know about my game. But I'm trending kind of in the right direction the last week. I had to knock some rust off, and I'm feeling better about it. Obviously, I'd rather tomorrow be 70 and calm and get a good practice round in. But it'll be a practice round, I guess, for Thursday, because it looks like the weather's the same Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I am excited to play. Obviously, got kind of a luck of a draw pairing, and that's going to be a lot of fun to play with the Carolina guys. And as I said, get back on the golf course. And I'm really focused on getting my game ready for next year, so I don't have a lot of expectations this week, but having fun playing. Right. 790, so I'm chipping away at the Mark Brooks record.
All right. We'll start here with Gary and then up to Kathy.
Hey, Davis. If this tournament fills this role going forward, if you recall, Disney used to have this spot, and guys were grinding, and one guy told me one time that he wasn't able to enjoy, you know, Disney World because he was – I guess the idea is to be safely ahead, right?
I've been in that position at Disney too. Like you need to get back to playing better and keep your job. And so I saw a list of, I don't know, six or eight guys from Lee Patterson that have played every tournament in the fall. You know, you don't want to come in here worn out and grinding and trying to keep your job and not get to enjoy the islands. But it is a more relaxing place. You know, I think I played well at Hilton Head because it wasn't the Masters. It was more relaxing and comfortable, and my family was there and happy. So sometimes when the family feels good, you play better. So, but yeah, we like our spot. We like the excitement. I've said it a lot. We've been three different types of tournaments here, and we'll have to play this one a few times to see where it shakes out. But yeah, you know, we're excited. We got some great top players, and we got a whole bunch of great new young guys, and we got guys playing for position, and I think it's gonna be a great week.
Payne told me one time that they should have played better in May. So
yeah, exactly.
But that was it.
I'm playing to keep my card too.
Yeah.
if I don't start playing better, they're gonna send me home. So
the other one I had for you is 14 years, same sponsor, the same course, you know, different dates, but you know, the same structure, the same charity. As successful as it's been, especially with this relationship with the sponsor, what do you think the next 14 years will be? Where do you see this tournament going forward now?
Well, there's a lot of things that we're certain of, and the Davis Love Foundation, which is a lot of people, not just Davis and Robin, and the RSM company, and our other sponsors like Yamaha and M3Com, they're all in the same boat that we want to keep giving money to charity. The thing that people miss and everything that's going on in the business of the PGA Tour right now, all these conversations about ownership and schedule and governance and all these things, these tournaments were formed, one, for people to watch professional golf, but in the same level of importance is to raise money for charity. We don't want this tournament, whatever it is, we're going to raise money for charity. If you get FedEx points or not, we're going to raise money. We're going to raise money for charity. Sea Island loves the week before Thanksgiving. RSM loves the week before Thanksgiving. Their clients love coming here. This is a home run for our little town, for our community, for our sponsors, and we don't want that to change. We will work with the tour to make this tournament better and better. I remember Tim Fincham sitting out there in front of the lodge on some presentation. He goes, well, Davis knows that there's four or five things they can do better next year. I was like, okay, what are those? But we want to get better every year and get bigger and give more money to charity. But we don't want to leave the PGA Tour. I mean, I was brought up in it. I watched a PGA Tour event in my backyard in Atlanta, and then it turned into the Players' Championship. This is, you know, our life, our culture, and we don't want it to change.
Davis, a couple of Champions Tour players are here, Stuart Sink and Patrick Harrington, and of course you, although you've been so injured, you've been mostly off. How does that make you feel about your tournament, that they would come and give up a week that could be a week off to play and participate?
Well, I try to convince Stuart that he should stay on the regular tour. He's playing so well, not mess with us on the Champions. And I'm sure some other guys feel that way as well. And then Padraig, I think it was a Jim Furyk tournament, came up to me and said, I want to play. You know, you think I'm going to need an exemption? And I said, well, I'm not that smart, but I'll figure it out. And then we started watching it, and he obviously got in easily, but we protected him. We knew we wanted Padraig to play. It's exciting. I mean, it doesn't matter how old they are, you know, big name guys, and we love having them. And but it's nice that the guys want to play. And obviously there's 20 guys that asked us for spots that we just didn't have spots for. So it's not nice for me to have to not ask them to play. But it's nice that people want to play and we have that much interest. And again, we got a great group, great field.
All right, let's go Mark and then Cameron.
Davis, I think you'd made some comments recently about the state of things on the tour with the framework agreement and everything else. Where do you think that's at, and how confident are you that something gets done?
Well, I think we're in a really, really good spot. I know sometimes I say more than I should, so I'm going to try not to. But we're in a really good spot. Jay is doing an unbelievable job of rallying people to work together. I think obviously there's always going to be differences of opinions, and you know, they had a huge board meeting yesterday, and I've never seen a board work so hard. I've never seen players work so hard. You know, you see a few guys' names in the paper, but there's a lot of guys, top players, all the way down the list, that are putting a lot of time and effort into this, and I think that's a good thing. And simply, we really don't need to change anything on the PGA Tour running event side. We can always get better, but we have an incredible, all of a sudden now, there's a whole bunch of people that want to invest in our business, you know? So I think we're in a really good place. I think I keep saying it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we have to be patient. You know, I think there was an excitement of dropping the lawsuits that got wrapped up in talking about business that maybe shouldn't have been talked about. But the deal that got done of dropping the lawsuits and looking people in the eye and saying, hey, we need to figure this out, was a massive, massive deal. And I don't, people really don't understand that because they've moved past that into a PR problem. but now they're heading in the right direction, and I'm 100% confident it's going to have a great outcome. I just don't know when.
All right, let's go Cam and then Rex.
Hey, Davis. Camilo Villegas just won on Sunday. It was a really emotional victory. It was actually the second week in a row that it was a very emotional victory on the PGA Tour. I was just wondering, like, how hard is it to play with emotion? Did you ever try to channel emotion, or do you have to just try and forget it and then think about all that stuff after the 72nd hole?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to not think about winning. You know, I think when people say, oh, that guy choked, well, he's just thinking about results. And so not only trying to win a PGA Tour event gets you thinking about results, but things that have happened in your past, the emotions of coming out, just get in the way of playing golf. So I tried to put my head down and not look at people and get focused on playing golf. And but to see, you know, the emotion come out, you see how important it is to guys. And we were watching, you know, we were, again, we protect people with exemptions that we want in, and all of a sudden, you know, looked like on Friday, Camilo's going to get him a spot, you know, the top tens or a win. So we were watching it very close, and he's just always been one of my favorites, and he's been through so much. So I was thrilled for him. And, you know, I remember Joey Sindelar winning at Wells Fargo and saying, I have a job for 2 more years. And that line has always stuck with me. And, you know, like, Camilo's got a job for 2 or 3 more years, and he's a winner on the PGA Tour again. So it was very, very exciting. And it doesn't matter where it is. Obviously, I've won some of the biggest tournaments on the tour, and I've won some of the smallest tournaments on the tour. But winning is really, really hard, and I'm thrilled he's back in the winner's circle again.
All right, let's go to Rex.
David, Zach was just in here talking about sort of what it's been like since the Ryder Cup and how, as a captain, you sort of unpack either it, with a win or a loss, you're constantly thinking about the things you could have done better or things that might have worked. What was the most challenging part for you? You've done it both ways.
It's just challenging to know that, you know, going in that you really can just give them the best chance you can to succeed, but you want them to win. And you can't really just say, well, you know what, I did the best I could, and they lost. You know, you'd never have that feeling. You always feel like, I mean, we were talking about the left hole location on 17 on Sunday at Medina yesterday. It still bothers me that I didn't force Carrie Hay to put it on the left. We wanted it on the left, and he said, oh, it's always on the right. Ah, yeah, go ahead, whatever. If we'd have done Davis would have done a few things different 2012, we would have probably won. You can't say that for sure, but I still feel that, and it bothers me. And Brant Snedeker still apologizes, you know? And that's the way we feel about it. But, yes, that was a fun Ryder Cup. And 97 at Valderrama, we went for a practice trip. We went and we had a blast, except for the rain. We had a blast. But we lost. But you still have to understand that we took a trip with Tom Kite as our captain, and it was a hell of a week. So Zach's dealing with the ups and downs of that. And it will, if he's the next 3 Ryder Cup captains and he wins all 3 of them, that will never go away, you know, that we lost in Rome. So it's tough. And hopefully this fall or this winter, we can sit down and talk about it, because I haven't really gotten to spend much time with him since.
All right, Sean.
Davis, I feel like right now there's never been a more popular time for people to talk about policy board meetings. It's a very popular topic. And you've been in your fair share of policy board meetings. And right now the board has a couple different people on it that don't necessarily see the world in the same way, to quote Rory. I'm curious if that setting, the policy board meeting, is that an easy one to find compromise or a difficult one?
Well, I got my first call about the policy board meeting at 7:30 this morning. So, yes. But the thing you got to understand is you need somebody in every walk of the PGA Tour. You need somebody. You need different views and opinions. I remember Charlie Hoffman just getting on me that I was running for the board again at, I was almost 50 years old. And well, I was 50. And he goes, you realize you're going to be on the, you're going to be 50 years old while you're a board member. I go, yeah, I didn't ask to run for the board. The commissioner asked me to run for the board. And he goes, well, I'm not voting for you. I go, well, great. I'm not voting for me either. I'm voting for you. Cause I knew Charlie Hoffman would be a great board member, but that being able for Charlie and I to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe this isn't right. What are you doing? And us to agree. And then we went into that. And what came out of Charlie being on the board is we play two golf courses here because Charlie challenged the PGA Tour. Why aren't we playing two golf courses in Vegas and all these? Yeah, Charlie, that's a great idea. Why don't I do that? That's more money for charity, more playing opportunities for players. So you have to have Joe Ogilvy, and then you have to have, you know, Jay Haas and Brad Faxon. The mix is great. So we have Patrick Cantlay, who's one end of the spectrum. And then we have, you know, Peter Malnati, who's looking at it from a completely – and then you have Adam Scott, you know, nice and quiet and voice of reason. So it's great. And that's why we elect them the way we do and why we have people run for the board. Pick these three guys to run. Gives the membership a choice. You can pick from these three guys. We don't force it down their throat. We give them an opportunity to pick who they want. And that's the Player Advisory Council's big. The trend down from that is really big. So, yeah, I like the diversity. Right now it's very, very, very diverse. And there's some arguments. We have arguments on our Zoom calls amongst ourselves. We think we get along, but that's how you get somewhere. Every board in the United States that runs a big company, they don't all agree. And they bring different things, different expertise. We all bring kind of a golf expertise, but now we're getting the guys, we're getting better, more active, whatever you want to call it, engaged board members, and I think that's great.
All right, Ron?
Hey, Davis. You were talking about the interest from private equity and other people investing in the tour. What is that? How do you see that looking, particularly from the consumer standpoint? What's it going to look like if all that comes to be?
It won't look any. That's the thing. It won't look any different at the RSM Classic or the Heritage. It's going to be golf tournaments on TV, top players, the business of the PGA Tour. So we have a for-profit entity, the Tournament Players Club Network. So we have a business that runs, and people don't really pay much attention to it, and it creates a lot of dollars, and it comes back to the overall PGA Tour Inc. So we're just going to have some other entity, maybe, that hopefully makes a lot of money and comes back to the PGA Tour. So you're backstopping that we're relying on the sponsors and the economy. Now we could have a business that not only we're a partner in PGA Tour Superstores, for example. That's a great business for Arthur Blank, and we're a minority partner. And it's a great business for us. So that's the way it's business, and it's big. It could be really big business, and it could be other tours, obviously, now. So it won't change, though, what the fans watch on TV when they okay, we're going to start off at Kapalua, and we're going to play the Century. It's not going to change. It won't change that. Just hopefully it changes the purses.
Okay, over Adam.
Davis, how would you assess the first year of the fall in this way?
Well, to Cam's question, it's been exciting so far. It's been emotional. This is the big week, though. Like, is it really going to have this race to the card, race to... I think it's put a focus on how you get in the is it signature elevated, designated
signature
events.
This week it is.
Since I haven't played in them, so I don't know what they're called. But it puts a focus on what's happening next year. So I think the fall is working. Obviously, we've been in the unknown for a year plus, right? So we're glad it's here. We're glad we're playing it. And so far, I'm very happy with the fall. And it ultimately comes down to the sponsors. Like, I think Bermuda just re-upped. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does RSM say after, 2025? That's the key thing. And so far, obviously, people are very happy with the way it's going. And the tour is delivering on what they promised a year ago.
Do you think the fall, 5 years down the road, 10 years, is going to look the way it looks now or very different?
I would say no. Because it hadn't looked the same any 5 year period for maybe my whole career. So I don't know. You can't look that far ahead. Hopefully not. Hopefully it just continues to improve. They come up with new ideas. The wraparound was a completely new idea that we'd never heard of before. So I think it's just going to continue to improve, but I don't know what that is.
On a different note, how has pace of play changed since you came on tour?
It really hadn't, I don't think. There's always been, when you play a full field, it's slow Thursday, Friday, and they put you in twosomes and you feel like you can't keep up. You go from really slow, nowhere to go when you make the turn. Like at Wylie, when you get to 10, you're going to have to wait on Thursday. The guys are going to be stacked up going for the green. It's always been the same. They try really, really hard. One great old rules official in a board meeting said, the best we're going to do is speed up 15 minutes. Where you guys got to go? But we have to keep up with the group so it's fair for everybody. But it hadn't really changed. It's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be fast players and slow players. And, I think we have a lot bigger fish to fry right now, but it's always good for the rules staff to stay on it.
All right, we've got time for one more, guys. Let's go to Jonathan.
Davis, during your heyday, you were one of the longest players on the PGA Tour, and I feel like you're probably a good person to speak on this because the USGA has been talking about the model local rule golf ball. I know there's been a lot of differing opinions on the ball, but I'm curious, what are your thoughts on potentially bringing in a different golf ball for the PGA Tour?
Well, I think, again, as a longtime board member, we don't want two sets of rules no matter what. Bifurcation is a big word, but we don't want two sets of rules. Now, if there's a way, I think, and I've said this for a long time and talked to Mike Davis about it and a lot of other people in USGA meetings. If there's a way to do it with a driver, I'd be 100% for it. Jump face. I really don't have to pack about 10 driver heads when I go to turn because mine don't crack. So I'm not getting a whole lot of spring, right? And then the guys that have to pack a bunch of driver heads, crack it, they're getting more advantage out of that jump. And so if you fix that, coefficient of restitution is another big word I learned a long time ago in a board meeting. If you didn't have that, then you wouldn't get an advantage. Like, why did Bryson try to start swinging so hard? Because he knew the faster he went, the more spring he got. And the next thing you know, he's going to have 200-mile-an-hour ball speed. So we can think about that and explore that. I haven't had anybody, smart people at Titleist or wherever, say, no, you're wrong. They're like, there could be another way to do it. But I think that's one thing to look at. But I hate when do you break? Who plays with that ball? Do the amateurs have to play that ball? Or if I come home to play with my buddies, do I have to play with that ball or can I go back to the other ball? And switching didn't mean just people don't understand. Switch the ball. You have to switch every club in your bag to adjust to that ball. So practically, it would be very, very difficult. I'm going to go with Titleist. They really don't think that's a good idea. So let's try something else.
All right, Davis, we appreciate your time.
All right,
as
thank
always.
You all. Thank you.
Is hiring challenging? Yes. Do you love a challenge? Also, yes. You need a hiring partner that can help you rise to that challenge. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. We streamline hiring with powerful tools that find you matched candidates. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because the candidates you invite to apply are three times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to US Indeed data. We get you one step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with quality candidates. I can tell you, folks, I use Indeed and have over and over again in my past businesses. Works perfectly. My wife is the head of HR for a major corporation, which has to go unnamed right now, but I can tell you this. She's used Indeed over and over again, and she absolutely raves about it. Told me about it far before they ever became a sponsor of Golf Talk America. So join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/golfer. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/golfer. That's G-O-L-F-E-R. Just go to Indeed.com/golfer and support the show by saying you heard about it on this podcast. Indeed.com/golfer. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started. We'd like to welcome Zach Johnson to the interview room here at the RSM Classic. Zach's making his first start on tour since serving as captain of the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Zach, you are one of two players who has played every single RSM Classic since its inception in 2010. Did you know that?
Is this a quiz to find out?
I'm not going to ask you who the other one is unless you think you know.
Well, I know it's not Davis, but it would be Davis if he could have played. I don't have the faintest idea. Charlie Hoffman. No, he's West Coast. Somebody old.
Oh, no.
Really?
No. Getting closer.
Cooch?
It's Chris Kirk. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Kirky.
All right. Zach, as someone who's been here at the RSM Classic every year, what's so special about this event?
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time to get through the whole list, but I mean, for me personally, selfishly, sleeping in my own bed and coming to work, like true work every day, is pretty spectacular. That's just me. But what makes this special is really it's collaborative. It's the collaboration of RSM making a tournament their own since the inception, seeing it evolve and get bigger and better every year. So those peoples deserve a lot of credit. It's the people that reside in this facility right here. Certainly Davis and his foundation and what they do is spectacular. And then I would throw in Sea Island Company and the amenities with which they offer. So I've got a couple buddies on tour. This is their first time here, which is kind of strange. A couple close ones in particular, but I get it. I mean, it's hard, you know, and you can't play every week, but it sounds like they won't want to miss it now. So it's those that come back, those that come here want to come back. And I think that says a lot. So, and I promise you, it was 75 to 85 every day last week.
And Zach, how's your game looking coming into the week?
You know, I've actually been able to work as of late, which has been nice. It's been a nice change and much needed escape. And my game feels great. I mean, we've had we had my entire team. We try to meet at the end of the year. We've already done that, which was really healthy and really effective. And then the communication since that point has been spectacular. So we've got a good game plan, I think, to navigate. It's not like it's anything out of the ordinary, but the difference this year is it's a little more trying going into next year because of it's not uncertainty. It's just a different schedule, as you well know. I don't need to get into the nuances of that, but it's just different. So trying to figure out where I can play and where I can't, and my home life has been it's going to be a difficult stretch, but my game feels good. I'm excited about this week and the remainder, and 2024.
Great. We'll get into questions. You'll just raise your hand. We'll get a mic over to you. We'll start in the front with Gary. Can I grab Zach a water, please?
Hey, Zach, how are you doing?
I'm good, Gary.
Do you get a gold certificate of some kind for perfect attendance?
And we will get that printed right away.
I think I should get at least like a Chick-fil-A card or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Little gold star to put on a hat.
That's right. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, something. Well, okay. This is the 14th year. Maybe at 15.
Two questions.
Sure.
RSM, and before that, McGladrey was the same company.
Yep.
Thank you. They've been a sponsor for this thing for 14 years. To the health of a tournament, to be able to keep a sponsor for that long and going forward.
Yes.
How much does that play a part in the success of the tournament?
Well, I guess I'm not into the actual architecture of this entire tournament, and I don't really know specifically, you know, what those meetings are about. I will say this. I mean, I do know some of the executives very well, even intimately. One in particular sits on my foundation board. And so, you know, I do know the people of RSM very, very well. And it does not surprise me that we're at 14 years. Obviously, this place is really great, and they've made this a second home. Whether you're talking about Sea Island, St. Simon's Community, the charities that are benefited, et cetera, there's a personal connection there. So that's number one. Number two is there's measurables. There's actual objective data that RSM has used to basically the full effect on their business. And I think, if anything, they could be a model, I'm sure they are, in Ponte Vedra for other potential or current title sponsors and how you utilize the PGA Tour construct to better your services, your businesses. I think there's, I mean, I'm getting into the specifics here, but there's real tangible data. And so, you know, whether it's their clients or, you know, partners or whomever that come here, they want to come back. I mean, I do numerous things with RSM throughout the year. And, you know, one of the common threads in those discussions is, I can't wait to get back to Sea Island or St. Simon's. And it doesn't surprise me.
And then finally, no matter how long you've lived here, how many times you play Ocean Forest or Frederica or here.
Sure.
But playing out here, does it ever get old? The course, the scenery, things like that?
No, not at all. It does not get old. If I'm going to be completely honest, it's my own fault because I am human. I probably do take it for a little bit for granted on occasion. You know, it's just spectacular. We're spoiled. If you're talking about these two facilities, who get a lot of play, but they're spectacular. And then, you know, I can still call it the new Plantation. I guess it's not that new anymore. I think it's a great compliment to Seaside. I think Seaside's one of the better golf courses we have on tour. And then now Ocean Forest is redone. Frederica's amazing. Retreat, just right down the road, is in the best shape I've seen it. So we're legitimately spoiled in the Golden Isles.
Go to the back to Rex.
Zach, it's been a couple of weeks since the Ryder Cup. In that time period, how often are you thinking back to the events of that week, either good or bad? And is there, what stands out when you're sort of sitting on the front porch thinking about that week?
Yeah, I mean, I think about it a lot. I mean, when it's something that, well, I mean, I guess you're going to get really specific. It was, you know, a year and a half, maybe 19, 20 months from the announcement, I guess, right? There's really about a year of true work, maybe 13, 14 months of work. So when you have something of that magnitude that you're doing day in, day out for the most part, and then it comes to an abrupt halt, you can't not think about it. And I love it. I mean, I am a fanatic of the Ryder Cup. So given my role in the last one, yeah, I mean, it's natural. I mean, I've got a lot of 2020 hindsight things that I certainly think about, arguably some regrets. But I think, again, with something of that magnitude, win or lose, you're going to have that. And that's sports, and I think that's when you care and you're passionate about something, you're going to have those natural feelings. So, you know, I think – when I look back, you know, obviously the mission was to go win, and we did not do that. And for, you know, that stinks. Again, I wanted to win. I wanted these guys to win, and it still hurts in some regards. But it's also the journey. This sounds like the right thing to say, but it's the truth. It's the journey with those people, specifically the 12. that I'll never forget.
And apologies for maybe touching a nerve. If you had to pick one thing that you regret, what would it might be?
Sure. Well, I don't, you're not, you don't have to apologize. I think the best athletes, specifically golfers that I've been around, it's a pretty obvious, especially if you can get into their intimate details of how they operate. I think compartmentalizing their life is, an attribute that a lot of guys do very, very well. Tiger will be the extreme example. He's amazing at it. And what I'm saying about compartmentalization is I think when it comes down to it, I look at things, every piece of my job is just that. Even within that compartment, there's compartments. So, sorry. And so I try to treat the Ryder Cup in that manner. I'm not one to tell them what to do or how to play. Obviously, I'm not their coach, but I am trying to put these guys in a position to play their best golf. That's what compartmentalizing is. And so I looked at every aspect of the Ryder Cup before and the week of and try to diagnose it and study it and figure it out, like what's the most efficient way to tackle each and every item. And the common denominator that I go back to that I wish I could have changed it would have dawned on me earlier is just the pure commodity of time and understanding that it's precious. And I think we had the practice round trip, no regrets, amazing. I don't think the guys would say they had any regrets in that. At least I would hope they wouldn't, but it was spectacular. But I think if I could have, you're looking back on things. If I could have put more value into time management, I could have put my guys in a better position to play golf at a better rate early on. I'm not suggesting that would have changed the outcome. Not at all. I can't determine that. That's sports, right? So I'm just saying, I think in my seat, I didn't see what needed to be seen till after the fact. Now it's been seen and it's been voiced by me and probably a couple others, but specifically myself. And so hopefully next time around, there's a better template put into place so these guys can go play golf.
Go to the right on with Adam.
Zach, it's kind of natural. It happens every time that the captain that wins is celebrated, the captain that loses gets kind of beaten up. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you were out-coached?
Well, I'm not a coach. I'm a
feel
captain.
Like you're out-captained?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's such a subjective matter there. I mean, if you're going to look at the scoreboard, you'd say yes. I don't know. It's sports. I mean, the bottom line is this is the beauty of this, the absolute beauty of this is it's once every 2 years. But if I had my 12 guys and I could take them 2 weeks after that cup to another one, it could be totally different. Now, it's not. That's not the way the formula is. That's not the way it works. And so I get that. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault anybody for suggesting that Luke did a better job because they won. I mean, it's only natural. I think Luke would also attest to that, you know what, he's happy for his 12 guys that won. I'm upset that my 12 guys did not win.
Stricker, Davis, they both had chances to captain again. Would you want to do this President's Cup or Ryder Cup in the future?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. That's the first time I've had that question posed. I'll just say this. I will serve Team USA to essentially any capacity if there's individuals that want me to be a part of it. If I'm the best choice for this, that, or the other, whatever that role is. I am able and willing to help them out because I love helping and serving. So, you know, I've learned a lot, obviously. I have some experience, but at the same time, I think, again, one of the beauties of Team USA is that we have, you know, new guys coming up that deserve an opportunity and have the ability and the passion to do it as well.
Go ahead.
As far as this week's event, in the past, the way the schedule worked, it always felt like the last week of school, right? What does this week feel like when jobs, opportunities for next year are on the line?
I don't know. I've actually thought about that in the sense that it is kind of the last week of school. I'll say, I mean, I only know myself here. Given the uncertainties of our golf climate, I mean, there's some things that are probably in place and still some stability. But I'm not upset that I'm almost 48. But there is opportunity. There will be opportunity for everybody and anybody. And this is another week. Obviously, that's opportunistic. So, yeah, I mean, fortunately, I put myself in a position that I'm still going to be able to compete next year on the PGA Tour, and hopefully beyond. I mean, that's my only focus right now, work wise, is to get better at golf. But you know, I mean, it is the last week for some of these guys, and they got to make a dent. And that's golf. I mean, that's competitive golf. That's meritocracy. That's PGA Tour golf, and I think it's a beautiful thing. It's also extremely brutal because it's hard. Everybody's really good, and everybody essentially has the same goals, and that's to win. So, I don't know what's going to transpire down the road. I just hope that the stories that will come out maybe this week, you know, or even, I mean, Camilo's an amazing story. No one's surprised about what he's done the last 2 weeks, but there'll be more of those beautiful stories like that. But there's also brutal stories that don't get covered as much. And it's hard. It's sports. But, you know, hey, the PGA Tour is in a good spot.
Ron and then Sean.
Hey, Zach. Regarding the Ryder Cup, there was a lot of conversation afterward that Europeans had played competitively right before, more competitively sharp than maybe our guys, who many have not played much. You put much stock in that, and would you recommend going forward that, hey, maybe before Bethpage, don't take a month off? Or it didn't seem to bother at Whistling Straits.
Correct. I mean, we've seen it both kind of, well, for Team USA, we've seen both, right? We've had Tour Championships straight into our Ryder Cup, right, or Presidents Cup, and then we've had Tour Championship and whatever 3 to 5 weeks off. So, I mean, that kind of goes back to what I said earlier: the commodity of time. That's one of those instances, you know, providing time, but then also what are you doing in that time is another part of that. So, yeah, I mean, ideally you want to have some fresh guys. I mean, I don't know if it's the captain's role to say, hey, you guys got to go play. That's not. I don't know if that's the proper way to approach it. Bottom line is the FedEx Cup takes a lot of time, energy, and they need to rest too. Some guys played Napa. There was only a couple. I mean, I guess if I think back on it. There could be some truth in that. And you had their guys playing the BMW, which is one of their signature events. You had, I think it was 10 out of their 12 were like in the top 15 or something like that, maybe even better than that, which is pretty ridiculous. So you had that, and you only had one time zone change for them to travel. Actually, a couple were in the same time zone. So, you know, there's some merit to be said there too. So, you know, yeah, I mean, that's been talked about, and I would say it'd be nice to have some collaboration between the PGA Tour and the PGA of America or Ryder Cup Europe or the European Tour in general, to have some collaboration there to see if we could figure out a really good way to tackle that. I'm assuming the dates. I know the dates are scheduled for New York. I don't know about Ireland yet. I really don't know.
Sean?
I'm curious. Brian Harmon was in here saying earlier this year he had texted his agent asking about announcing gigs. Like, he was thinking about hanging it up. And I think anyone who's played this game long enough has probably thought about quitting at some point and then probably went on to win. As long as you've been at this, what's the closest you've come to hanging it up and quitting, and did a victory follow soon after?
Can you say that again?
Brian
Harmon?
He said it, not me. He was texting his agent this spring. He was so frustrated with his game about... June. Yeah, June. Getting TV. Doing TV.
As an announcer. Brian Harmon.
It looked like Brian Harmon.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, in your, as long as you've been doing this.
I've never been that. I mean, at my age, yes. I mean, what am I going to do next? But I still want to compete.
But there's never a frustrating stretch where you were thinking about.
No. Okay. I mean, I've had frustrating stretches.
Sure.
But I look at it as opportunity. I mean, I flip negatives into positives pretty darn quick. It's like having a round out there and you shoot 73 and it could have been a 78 if you didn't putt well. Well, you putted well and now you know what you need to work on. That's kind of how I operate. I look at it from a different lens.
I think it was a short-lived moment of frustration.
I'm going to assume it was too, yeah, based on his July-August stretch. Maybe even late June because that was Travelers, right? Was mm-hmm. Travelers in June? Yeah. Man, that's coming from his mouth. Correct?
Yeah, holy. Yeah, but Jeremy said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Well.
To be fair, he got shot down pretty quick by Jeremy.
Well, I mean, Jeremy depends on him for a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I know Brian well. Very, 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 very well. And we've had discussions throughout the years on how to play this game, how to tackle this game. We approach things very similar. That's why I'm surprised by this. I mean, I maybe he was being honest or somewhat sarcastic. I have no idea. That's not the point. I'm just shocked by that statement because he is so good. I mean, obviously, we're saying because he had a great summer. But that even before that, I'm like, I almost want to model my game after him now. That's really what I'm getting at is because he's so efficient at what he does. Wow. I'm surprised by that statement.
Mark.
It's the On Three Network. It's not Rivals. Go ahead.
Going back to the Ryder Cup, sir. Have you guys done a post-mortem dissection? And given a few weeks out, do you have any more insight into road versus home, or it is what it is?
Can you elaborate more on this? Be more specific.
Just how it's been so lopsided for the home team.
Well, I mean, I think there's a number of factors there, and all of them could be possibly correct. I mean, the bottom line is this is sports, and you just never know until you tee it up. I mean, you never know who's going to – anybody can beat anybody at any given time. The fact of the matter is kind of what we've kind of said here. I don't think I put my guys in the best position for success. Those guys on the European side were playing great golf and didn't have far to go. A lot of them played multiple tournaments between the Tour Championship and the Ryder Cup. I look back at Whistling Straits, it was kind of the other way. Like, a lot of our guys were playing unbelievable going into it, right? And so maybe there's something to be said about form in that regard. I don't know. I mean, I think you can kind of pick it apart and like, but you cannot prove one way or the other why. And that's why this will be discussed over and over and over again, whether it's internally or in the media or wherever. It's just, it's the beauty and the curse of the Ryder Cup. It's just so substantial that you can look at it so many different ways. And yeah, there's a lot of potential in there for being accurate, but you're never going to really know. I mean, I think where we are, we're going to learn from what happened. And so I personally believe the Team USA will be in a better position for Ireland once we go back over there. Again, that's not going to say that we're going to win by any means, but because it's hard. I don't know. I hope there's not as many lopsided victories going forward. I say that, but got to be kind of nice to be on. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to win in hostile environments, no matter what sport it is.
Any last questions for Zach? One last one from Gary.
One of the things that Brian said about the Ryder Cup, his first Ryder Cup, is that I know, you know, the losing side, whether it's here or across the pond, gets beaten up by, you know, fans and their fans and their media. But I wondered if Brian didn't have the perfect perspective here when he said, mind you, in a loss, he said, my expectations for the Ryder Cup were exceeded. So for a rookie, and he talked about the experience of watching the greatest players in the world and about playing with Max the day they had on Saturday and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, does he have that in the perspective that you would have wanted your guys to walk away with?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and have desires over their perspectives, but I'll say it does not surprise me in the least. I mean, shoot, I played in five, and I won one, and I cherish every one of them. Probably not over 2012 yet, but they're just all so special. Every team is special. Every week is just – it's unlike anything we do, and there's more to it than just the monotony of playing your own golf ball week in, week out. A lot more to it. So that's encouraging. I mean, it's encouraging that he said that. I'm not surprised by it. And I've talked to him, again, going back to it. I've talked to him, I think, a last – because he's been close two or three times on making a team here or there. And so we've had some nice discussions, you know, simple and short, but I just kept encouraging him to keep doing what he's doing because he's good enough. And we witnessed that. No one was surprised, you know, obviously with Brian being a part of it. I wouldn't surprise maybe he plays in the next two or three, you know, going forward, at least because he's so good. So really what you're saying is once you experience it, you want more of it. And that is so accurate. Again, the beauty of it is it's every 2 years. The curse of it is every 2 years because you want it again the next month. But that's not going to happen. Sure.
All right. Thank you all. And Zach, good luck in your 14th RSM Classic this week.
Thank you very much.
So there you have the interviews from Zach Johnson, Davis Love III, and Camilo Villegas. We hope you enjoyed them. And we'll include more of those more in Golf Talk America because I think y'all would like to hear those instead of Tim and I talking so much. But in any case, it is the RSM Classic this week. Sea Island, Georgia. What a fabulous, fabulous place. And we love it there. A lot of players live there. St. Simon's Island, right outside of Brunswick, and just a hop, skip, and a jump from Amelia Island Plantation and Ponte Vedra Beach, where they play the Players' Championship, as you well know. In any case, for Tim Matthews, I'm Frank Bassett, wishing you all the very, very best. Thank you so much for listening to Golf Talk America, and we will see you next time.